Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talking sports, yes we do. Talking sports, it's for you. Pray and pay, and we spit it every day, and we're talking sports. Give us a call, okay?
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We have a champion, and we need to talk about it. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and yes, the champion, wow, the New England Patriots. Give us a call. Let's talk about this Super Bowl. Let's review it, the controversial play call, non-play call, all of it. 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at Ray and Tay Today. Check out YouTube, Facebook, Ray, you know, Ray and Tay Today, the website. We're everywhere, Ray. Sort of like the Patriots secondary. I guess for me, when I look at the game, we'll talk commercials, Katy Perry. But overall, as football NFL fans, as rough as this season has been, sort of off the field with all the different issues, we don't have to name them, but I think we got a treat, a pleasure, one of the best Super Bowls ever, a classic with the Patriots beating the Seahawks 28-24. Were you shocked that Darrell Bevell and Pete Carroll on second down decided to throw a pick play to lock it?
So I wasn't shocked. I guess I was disappointed more than anything, because the other thing that we haven't talked about is Russell Wilson's 5'10". And, you know, when you're 5'10 and you got an 80 yards of field in front of you, that's one thing. But when you're 5'10 and you have, you know, 12 yards of field in front of you, 15 yards of field in front of you, it's a big deal. And that's why you should have run the ball. Marshawn Lynch, and this isn't even after the fact. I mean, you would have taken more time off the clock. You had your two timeouts. They weren't going to stop Marshawn Lynch, or maybe they
I think they had one timeout left, to be fair. I think they had one, but still.
At that point, they had one, right. Right. So, yes, I do believe they should have run the ball. I wasn't shocked in retrospect, because I guess they said, now maybe this is just falling on the sword like we talked about, but I said that this is one of those situations where they didn't want to face the run defense. They didn't want to face the goal line defense. But you have beast mode, right? He had 13 touchdowns. He led the NFL in rushing touchdowns. So what's the problem? So, yes, I was disappointed. And that just tells you sports are so crazy, right? They were counting counting down a second to their championship in Seattle, and then whoops, an interception by an undrafted rookie.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he was drafted. Sorry, we'll talk about Mike. Matthews was undrafted.
Oh, Chris Matthews, what a game. He was playing hardball out there, right?
He was playing hardball, and how funny was it that it was on NBC, too?
So
they got the little the Chris Matthews plug in there. But, yes, I was disappointed. But, no, I wasn't shocked, but I was disappointed. And especially because Marshawn Lynch had a great game. He was moving the ball. You called it. You had him going for two touchdowns and 110, 115, something like that. So if he scored on that touchdown drive, that would have been almost perfect. And he, on first down, right, it was first and goal on the 5, and he got 4 yards down to the 1. I don't know. You try beast mode to me.
Well, not just that. I mean, you know, we'll talk about the game, and we could break it down so many different ways. But even on that drive, the pass from Wilson to Lynch was incredible. Obviously, the pass from Wilson to Jermaine Kearse was just miraculous, almost a David Tyree, bouncing around, catching it on the leg, the back, falling down and staying in bounds, whatever. You could say it's lucky. But to me, I mean, Beast Mode is the heart and soul of this team. Now, you've heard different critics. Some people have said that they, you know, wanted Russell Wilson to win the Super Bowl and not give it to Lynch. I don't know. I think that, honestly, they got too cute. Because to say that it's a goal line matchup, but you have three receivers out there, so you could have, you know, run Lynch off tackle. You could have bootlegged and done a zone read. You could have, you know, run Wilson, and that means Hightower was in the middle of the field. He would have had to run and get with him because everybody else was helmet on helmet, hat on hat, blocking. I mean, there's so many different options. I would have loved to have seen just like the touchdown they got to Baldwin, right? Wilson was on the run, you know, faked the handoff, play action, and then a wide open Doug Baldwin for the touchdown, his only catch. And he does the lewd, you know, thing and gets the penalty or whatever. Doug Baldwin, you know, whatever. He didn't step up. He talked all that stuff to Deion, but he didn't play a big game. And it's mind-boggling to me that right now Seattle did not repeat and he didn't have 25 carries for 103 yards and two touchdowns because that's what he would have had. So, you know, but you know what I love about Russell Wilson? This interception will not define me. You know what I mean? Like the positive, he's like, I have to learn from this, and this is something I'll just learn from. I got to believe, and so does Vegas, these guys will be right back here next year, maybe even the same matchup, Ray. And I'd sign up for it tonight. Today, it's after 8 o'clock on the East Coast, February 1st. Ray and Tay would sign up for this Super Bowl again because it was amazing. It really was.
You know, it's funny because it was close, and you thought that the Seahawks were going to out-muscle the Patriots, but they didn't. And the Patriots did once again what they did to Baltimore. They came back from a 10-point deficit. And Seattle can point to that final play, but they can also point to, what is it, three straight three and outs.
That's
from
right.
The end of the third quarter through
Where was the urgency? You're right. That was horrible. And that was a big, when you talk about it, what was it? I think it was Rob Mankiewicz, who turned 31. It was his birthday yesterday, had that huge tackle on that, I think it was third and one on Lynch to make them have
punt. That little dive play, he was untouched, though. Yeah. That was something was off on the blocking scheme because the right tackle went inside, left Ninkovich out, and Marshawn Lynch had no chance.
So a couple of things I want to ask you with Seattle because this, I think, was evident. I mean, one, there's no excuses in football. I mean, look, Sherman is going to have Tommy John surgery on his elbow. He's a football player. That's pretty serious. Thomas was not himself. He's normally all over the field. Not too many people are going to really play effective with a separated shoulder. Chancellor, you know, whatever. But then losing Cliff Averill hurt them for the fourth quarter. And then in the beginning of the game, after the great interception of Brady on that first drive, our boy Lane, Jeremy Lane, you know, really, that looked kind of gruesome. I don't know how badly he's hurt, but he's, you know, out too. So when you got three guys on the field really playing hurt, and then you got your best or second best pass rusher and your, you know, third best, you know, nickel slot receiver corner out, you know, I got to say, I think it did affect them because even on the tackling, Ray, they weren't that sharp on tackling. Look at Vereen with the 11 receptions and breaking some tackles for 64. Amendola broke a couple. And Julian Edelman, who would have been my MVP, 9 for 109. This guy moved the chains so much in a touchdown. It was so impressive, but they broke tackles. So I give them credit, but I also noticed that the Seahawks were not – they weren't whatever it was, and I think a lot of it was injury, but they weren't at their best tackling-wise. But I love the Patriots game plan. It was brilliant. I think it was brilliant. McDaniels and Belichick, kudos to them.
Yeah, and you know what? This, we talked about this a little bit off air. They are dominant, the Patriots, in the collective. But if you look at each of their Super Bowls, they won the first three by 3 points each, and they won this one by four. So that's 13 points, four Super Bowl wins. So they're not really dominating anybody, but they're doing just enough to win. And give them credit. You know, when they were down 24-14, you pretty much thought, all right, Seattle just needs to run the ball, get a few first downs, and maybe tack on a field goal, and they'll win 27-21. But they stuck around, they stuck around, they stuck around, and despite two interceptions by Brady, they still were able to get him the ball again and win the game. So, you know, I don't know if you can be disappointed in Seattle because they played all around, you know, a pretty good game. I think you just have to take your cap and, you know, tip your cap to the Patriots and just say, you know what, they know how to win. They know how to stay in games. They know how to stay alive, and they know how to win, and they did it two straight weeks. They shouldn't have beaten Baltimore, and they shouldn't have beaten Seattle, but somehow this team finds a way to do it.
First team to win with 50 pass attempts from a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, 37, the most completions made for 50, 328 yards, four touchdowns, two INTs. And what's fascinating, an average of 6.6, you know, per completion, pretty low, lower than his career, which is like, I think, 7.4, which I had mentioned on the show, him and Russell Wilson right at the same. The one thing I was shocked about, one, I thought Blunt would run more, but give Seattle credit, they kind of did their job in stopping the run. So I think the Patriots, they supplemented it, and part of their game plan was to, by, you know, the short dink and dunk passes and just try to break tackles. And, you know, it's a smart strategy with the type of receivers they have compared to the long, you know, cover guys from Seattle. A lot of the Patriot moves were redirection, you know, stop and cut, the Edelman touchdown and the Edelman miss when Brady overthrew him. You know, it was a miss, you know, went one way, cut, stop, and went the other way, wide open. And, I just think they realized and conceded we cannot win going down the field. They're not going to let Gronk really beat us, you know, except that one matchup where they got KJ Wright 1-on-1. And as I was watching it, I knew, I was like, Gronk, he's going to get this. Because, you know what I mean? Like, that was – it needed to be Chancellor or Wagner, and he got Chancellor once or twice in the game too. But in terms of for that touchdown, that was beautiful. I got to ask you this because, you know, we talked about it, you know, back and forth last night, but you got to give some credit to Russell Wilson because I think at the end of the day, even though he did get picked off there, which was his only interception, the guy played
good. He got picked off twice.
Huh?
I said Brady got picked off twice.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. And to me, if you hand it off there and Lynch, if you lose with Lynch, you're okay. And if I lose with a fade pattern to the end zone, you know, i.e. Kaepernick, you know, to Crabtree, if it would have been Wilson to Curse or Chris Matthews, who wasn't even in on that last play, it almost doesn't make sense, right? Lockett is the return guy. Why wouldn't you throw it to Baldwin or Curse or Matthews with the height? You know, they really were trying to be too cute there. But anyway, it's over with, whatever. But 12 for 21, but 247, and that final drive, as our friend and you know, rest in peace to Stuart Scott would say, he, you know, Russell Wilson is cooler than the other side of the pillow. That was an amazing drive. And, you know, look, Lynch has one reception, but it's one for 31 yards. I thought they could have done more screen passes to him. That could have helped move the chains. I felt like they didn't do enough bootlegs or even zone reads. And you know, Russell's runs normally just come from a broken down pass play. And I think that's harder when they had Jamie Collins and other guys spying on him. I would have liked to have seen a couple of more design runs. He only had three attempts. You know what I mean? Three for 39.
Does this cast a negative shadow over Daryl Bevel, who was, by many accounts, at least in the beginning of the year, up for some of these head coaching jobs.
I think it does.
Does it set him back?
You know why it does? Because after the game, he said Ricardo Lockett should have gone after the ball more aggressively. Are you kidding me? Really, coach?
Well, it's funny. I mean, you know, that's what Chris Carter said, and that's what the professional, you know, wide receivers say too. So he's not the only one saying it.
This is where but a lot of people also say.
But you don't say that. I mean, that's not how you. That's not
but
how you hang your player out there.
Jump the route, and actually, what happened was it was Browner, the ex-Seahawk, who made one of the best plays on the whole play because the pick never happened because he jammed Curse at the line of scrimmage. They recognized the play. The play was so obvious. And so that Browner stopped the pick. And then Lockett, you know, he sort of faked out and then, you know, goes in. And Malcolm Butler beat him to the spot. He beat him to the ball. And imagine this, right? He caught it. He could have very easily just dropped it and it would have been, you know, third down. He caught the ball. I mean,
that was an amazing catch. That's not an easy catch. And you know what they say about those defensive backs? They said if you have good hands, you'd have been a receiver.
Exactly.
But no, he played like a receiver and he caught the ball.
Beautiful play. I think, you know, at the end of the day, history will forget more of the play call and will look at what the kid did. And you hope that he starts to develop and have a great career after this. But, you know, when you hear his story and you know, community college and then West Alabama, you hear Chris Matthews at Foot Locker. I mean, you know, this is what it's all about. And I think on both offenses, well, at least on the Patriots offense, it was only one first-round pick in Nate Solder. You know, we know about the Seahawks got a bunch of free agents and late-round picks, and the quarterbacks are third and sixth round. So I think it's great in terms of inspiring young football players coming up with the NFL Combine, which we cover and talk about, that, you know, if you're not first round, your first two, three rounds, it doesn't mean it's over. You can be a free agent. You can be a sixth-round pick. But when you get there, it's about the work you put in, i.e., you know, and we wish him well, Manziel. You know, you almost hate to hear about it now, the day after the Super Bowl, but going to, you know, rehab, and we hope that he gets himself together, whether it's, you know, alcohol or cocaine or whatever, the combination, who knows. But you just hope that this kid gets his head on right and gets it together because, you know, he's a spoiled superstar first-round kid. And like, what did Parcells say? No celebrity quarterbacks, right?
No, that's true. You know, and we've seen our fair share. You know, prima donnas, you usually think about them at the wide receiver position. But, yeah, you know what? We hope Manziel gets his – we talked about this off air a little bit, and we hope Manziel gets his act together because if you fail on the football field because you're not talented enough, you're not big enough, strong enough, whatever, you can live with that. But if you have any doubt – and this guy's a Heisman Trophy winner, so he's not some bum off the street. So if you don't give yourself
every chance
to succeed in the SEC, no less, if you don't give yourself every chance to succeed, then shame on you. You know what I mean? That God-given talent should be in somebody else's body that has a chance and gives himself a chance to, you know, to prevail and ultimately succeed. That's all you can ask for.
So let's talk legacy because everybody's asking about it. And even a couple of guys you got to be really happy for. But besides Brady and Belichick, two guys that really stand out to me, maybe three, Wolfork, who I think could be a Hall of Famer down the line, and what you think about this Super Bowl win for him, but specifically Darrelle Revis and Rob Gronkowski. I'm really happy for the two of them because I think Revis is still the best corner who travels everywhere with a receiver on the field. And Gronkowski is finally healthy, and he dominated this year, and he's so much, to me, he's better than Jimmy Graham because of his great run blocking. He, you know, and Jimmy Graham, remember, has been locked down in some games when you put a stronger safety on him or a big corner like, Tlaib and some of the Seattle guys. But give me your thoughts on just, and we'll get to Brady and Belichick because that's obviously the big legacy talk, but what are your thoughts about Wilfork and Gronk and Revis? Because you got to be happy for them.
Well, you know, they bought into the program. Well, Revis is kind of a Johnny-come-lately, right? But yeah. Wilfork and Gronkowski are products of that Belichick system. And I don't know if Wilfork's a Hall of Famer, but he certainly is critical to that team. And his run-blocking ability and his ability to eat up, you know, at the point of attack, up blockers at the point of attack, allow guys like Rob Ninkovich and Jamie Collins and Hightower and the rest of the people, Gerard Mayo, the rest of the people that have played linebacker, make all those tackles and play the game they played. So you love that big nose tackle that can eat up space, eat up blockers.
I think you're going to bring him back next year because I don't think they have a replacement for him.
He's just hard to replace, period. And then Gronkowski, you know, we talked about Kellen Winslow, and that's our guy growing up. And we talk about Jimmy Graham, he's very dynamic. And we talk about Tony Gonzalez. And maybe you throw a guy like Jason Witten in there in terms of his value to Romo. But this guy has a chance to go down as the best tight end ever because of his ability to run block. Because all those other guys were primarily pass blockers who did a little bit in the running game. But this guy is a straight-up beast when it comes to run blocking, and he gives you the same effort and the same productivity in the passing game. So he is your ultimate weapon. I mean, Jimmy Graham may physically, there may not have been a tight end that's the physical specimen that he is, and maybe, you know, the clutches guy of them all was Kellen Winslow, and, you know, in that game in Miami when he had to be dragged off the field and he blocked the field goal and all that stuff. But in terms of the all-around package, I mean, Gronkowski might go down as the best.
Yeah, it's almost like he's taken what, remember, and this is a guy to warm your heart, throwback tight end, who was a good run blocker and a great pass catcher for the Stabler, Dave Casper. It's almost like Gronk is like the futuristic, you know, Twitter version, internet version of Dave Casper. Do you know what I mean? Because Casper was a good run blocker. Good receiver. He just wasn't, you know, dynamic like Gronk, but he was very solid, I think, at both.
And then Revis. Yeah. Revis gets his ring, right? Revis went through the, you know, the ups and downs with the Jets, and then he went to Tampa for a quick
surgery.
And then, you know, people forgot about him, and people started to say, oh, yeah, Richard Sherman is the man, and Patrick Peterson is the man, and everybody else is the man, and he said, no, I'm the man.
He had a great season. I'm so happy for that guy. Anybody that comes back from the ACL and those type of injuries and to come back with such excellence and dominance, and he's been making a lot of money. I give him a lot of credit. He's very smart. One-year deals, man.
Yeah, he bet on himself. And and you know what? It worked out for him, and Belichick saw that. In this day and age, if you can, you know, a la Dion, if you can get a guy who can cover his man and doesn't need help, there's a lot of things you can do with that. And then you put Brandon Browner, who because of the whole, you know, substance issue was free, because otherwise
there's
no reason. Browner should have not been on the Patriots, right? It should have been Browner, and then Maxwell would have been the nickel corner. But you get Brandon Browner. And what's great about it is those two are totally different, right? Brandon Browner is your big, physical, you know, guy at the point of attack.
Thumper.
And yeah, you know, Darrelle Revis is small. He's pretty physical, but he's a smaller guy, and he covers anybody, you know, all over the field. So good, and again, kudos to Belichick because he's the player personnel guy as well. So he is just getting it done in every direction. And I mean, the unfortunate part is the whole Spygate and Deflategate and all the gates and Lionsgate and, you know, all that stuff. It just tarnishes his image a little bit, but, you know, there's no doubt that this game and this season has Bill Belichick's imprint all over it. So,
oh, totally.
From as much as we like to say that you know they stretched the rules and a lot of teams did, they got caught, but there's no doubt that they built something special ever since you know the mid '90s and really ever since Bob Kraft took over.
But look at that. When you say that, it's so true because Brandon LaFell, he was the number three guy, maybe the number two of the Panthers. They didn't really want to bring him back. He goes to New England. Amendola couldn't stay healthy with the Rams. They thought he might be a Welker. They let go of Welker. You know, he comes and nothing's happening. You know, look at him now. Julian Edelman, who, you know, the Kent State quarterback, he kind of was the special teams guy for them. He was there when Welker was there. Nobody recognized him. He hardly played, strictly special teams. Then the last two seasons, he's been one of the top 5 to 10 best receivers in the game. You know, I think it's amazing, and we always say this, and one of the reasons why we started that segment, doing more with less, was because of the gentleman, the future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, Tom Brady, because he's never had superior talent except for that one season with Moss and Welker. You know what I mean? And they went 18-1.
We talked about that all year. And we said, of the four Super Bowls he won, obviously the one he didn't win, he had Randy Moss and Wes Welker. But of the four Super Bowls he won, now we just gave Rob Gronkowski a lot of love. So let's say Rob Gronkowski will be a Hall of Famer. But other than that, the next best player he played with is who? Is Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon at running back.
And then the next best player after that is Deion Branch. He did win a Super Bowl MVP, but when he signed for the big money, he didn't do much after that. And then who's the next best player? Troy Brown, offensively at the skill position. And Benjamin Watson. I mean, we're talking about
don't forget about Kevin. Don't diss Kevin Faulk.
Kevin Faulk was a very, very good role player. But you're talking four Super Bowls. So he was, I mean, he came out of LSU and he was a good player. But you talk about some of the, I mean, think about the other guys that have won four Super Bowls, right? Your boy Bradshaw, right? Wow. He had Swan and Stallworth and Franco and even Rocky Blyer for some inspiration back there.
We had some guys.
Talk about Montana, who won his four Super Bowls. And he had Rice and Taylor and Freddie Joe Solomon. And he had Rathman and he had Roger Craig and Ricky Waters. I mean, none of these guys did Brady have. And when we're saying Gronkowski, Gronkowski's only on this last one, right? The other three, you know, he had Ben Watson. He had a few other tight ends. So it's amazing what these guys have done. You know, doing more with less. These guys are taking guys that are not. And again, Belichick needs to get even more credit than he does because he's really got this system down and he's really, really figured it out between drafting, player development, motivation,
everything.
He's the real deal.
Players at the right time.
Yeah.
Even though it's harsh, look at Welker. Welker is—he's done. He wasn't anything this year for Denver.
Well, you know? He started the season with the substance issue, and then he had the concussion. So maybe it's just a bad luck season. But you're right; he may have hit the wall. And you know what? Was it four straight season of over 100 catches? That adds up. You're a little guy.
Yeah, those hits.
Taking those hits, that adds up.
Yeah. So, a couple of numbers I want to throw at you when we talk about the legacy of these two guys. 21 playoff wins for the coach, 20 for Brady, because, you know, Belichick had one in Cleveland. 12 touchdown passes for Brady. 4 rings, 6 Super Bowls. When you start to, you know, look at what they're compiling, what they've done together, you know, obviously – even this was a good defense. They've all 4 Super Bowl wins. The commonality was a very good defense. You know, they had better defenses, but this was no slouch of a defense, as we saw. Is it like Magic Johnson where you got 5 and went to 9? That you, we give Magic a lot of props for getting to 9, even though he's 5-4. When you compare Brady at 4-2 compared to Bradshaw 4-0 or Aikman 3-0, Montana 4-0. Now, Montana, very easily, look, Bill Walsh kind of held him back, right? Putting in Young, making him, you know, he left to go to Kansas City. He could have been 5-0, maybe 6-0, who knows? Or 4-1. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I can say Brady is better than Giuseppe, but I think at the end of the day, when we talk about the greatest quarterbacks, clearly Brady and Montana, there's a separation, right?
Yeah, I think it's really those
from
two.
From Manning and Marino, Elway, you know.
Favre, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a separation, you know, and I don't know. We've debated this even on our show. We don't know if you put Unitas and Otto Graham with Brady and Montana, or is it just Otto Graham? Because anybody that wins 11 championships, he's like Bill Russell, right? Otto Graham and Bill Russell are sort of like, you know, they're sort of the pre-Super Bowl, pre, you know, great NBA eras. But right now, I think Tom Brady, and he's not done yet. I want everybody to know this. He's not – Brady will play to like 42.
They were ready to write him off,
won't be with
too.
The Patriots. Brady will not be with the Patriots. He's not going to end the Patriot. It won't end. Look at Manning. He's somewhere else. You know, Elway's the only one that walked off. But Montana and Kansas City, Joe Namath.
Elway walked off with gas in the tank, though. Because Elway retired because Terrell Davis had that second championship.
That
back.
But
back
Elway didn't have anything else left with him. He was shot. He could barely move. You know what I mean? I don't think Elway, if he didn't have
you
Davis.
Don't think he could have strapped it up for another year?
I think Elway pushed it to the limits. That's one thing I love about Elway. Elway is one of my favorite all-time players because we saw him lose and he had no help. You know what I mean? Like he was like, gosh, Elway was like, you know, better than Patrick Ewing. But you know what I mean? Like he just did so much and had no help in the beginning. I mean, what he got killed by the Giants, the Redskins. And who was the third law? And the Niners.
Niners, you, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So he lost, you know, 3 gut rent. You know what I mean? Like, he got dominated in 3 Super Bowls, basically. But he got them there. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't have much help. So, you know, look, obviously Brady is secure. Belichick's harder. How do you look at Belichick? Because I also, you know, we know about Parcells. We know about Lombardi and what he did with Starr. But you know who? Bill Walsh and Joe Gibbs. Because Joe Gibbs did it with 3 different quarterbacks, and none of them are Hall of Famers. Steisman's the best. But Mark Rippon and and Doug Williams, you know, they're not Hall of Famers. So Joe Gibbs is impressive to me as well. How do you look at Belichick and Bill Walsh?
The one thing that's a little disappointing about Belichick, unlike Bill Walsh, is that his tree doesn't succeed. So for some reason, Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels, all of these guys, none of these guys really succeed. And I don't know, I can't even explain that because you would think that with enough chances, 1 or 2 or maybe more of these guys should be succeeding. Maybe the guy in Houston,
O'Brien,
by way
yeah.
of Penn State,
I think he'll do it.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien can do it, but that bothers me a little bit because Bill Walsh's tree is fantastic, and these guys all succeeded and they all flourished. But I got to tell you that other than that, developing your coaching staff and creating a legacy that way, Bill Belichick is the most impressive of them all. Bill Walsh
is so adaptable.
Yeah, he created the West Coast offense.
Yeah, and you can, but you
but,
can
well,
play.
Bill Walsh created the West
way.
Coast offense, but yeah,
oh, yeah
but
Bill
Belichick
was a genius. I mean, he was a savant. His type of, I mean, look, they said that I saw The Football Life with him and his book about football. It's like 600-700 pages. and it sold like 30,000 copies. But every coach said, this is the Bible of football. You have to have this book if you want to be a football coach. And, like, everybody respected Bill Walsh, like, to the umpteenth degree. He's the one that walked away. Remember, it, you know, it's not like, you know, George Seifert came in for the ride. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But having said that, I still think Belichick's the man of all time because he did it in an era of free agency. He did it in an era where he had really not a lot of offensive talent. Now, maybe that's by choice. And the one thing that the people who have, you know, knocks against him would say is that he wasn't the man when Vinny Testaverde was his quarterback. He wasn't the man when Drew Bledsoe was his quarterback. So they link Brady and Belichick together, but I think that's Belichick because I think Belichick
you do have to have the quarterback to win, because if you do have the quarterback, then you don't have to put the money at receiver, and he can focus on offensive, defensive line, and stuff like that. And I think it's smart because if you're building a team, it's left tackle, it's O and defensive line, it's quarterback, and it's corners. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, and then you go up the middle with the safety and the linebacker. Like, it's because look at these two teams in the Super Bowl, right? So the Broncos get killed last year. They got all this offensive talent. Besides Gronk, when you look at Seattle and the Patriots, there's no real, you know, top receivers. Edelman, you know, has become great the last 2 years. But, you know, whereas, you know, look at all the great receivers, right? From Dez Bryant to A.J. Green to Megatron. These guys aren't sniffing the Super Bowl. So I think if I'm designing a franchise, I say I need the quarterback. I want the O-line, especially the tackle. It'd be nice if I can run the ball. I mean, Blunt to me was a gift. And let me tell you something. He didn't have a big game, but Blunt helped him along the way last year and this year.
The threat of him helped.
Yes.
Because we kept saying they got to run the ball. And this is another thing that's amazing. I mean, what'd they do? They had 14 rushing yards a few weeks ago. And guys, somehow I don't even believe that they do it. You know, you look at them and you're like, wow, they're really – and this, again, give credit to Belichick. And give Josh McDaniel some credit, too.
Right.
They're doing this – In such an untraditional way that you
would
expect.
But it's like Bill Walsh. But it is the West Coast offense. Remember, Bill Walsh said a short, efficient, 70%, 80% of the time passing the ball, a couple yards in the air for 2 to 6 yard gain, and maybe you break it for deeper, like Jerry Rice used to do all the time in Montana's passes, right? That is just as effective as running the ball. And remember, Roger Craig, him, Marshall. And who's the third guy to get 1,000? Because Marshall was saying he believes Le'Veon Bell will be the next back to be able to do it. But Roger Craig and Marshall Faulk, that's what was so great. They can get 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. You know, so that's why I give Belichick a lot of credit, too. And he's done it with McDaniels and without McDaniels. The dink and dunk, it works because it's about getting players in space, attacking a zone, picking, you know, doing what you got to do man-to-man, creating unbalanced lines, players and motion. You know, you're right. He's the guy, man. So, you know, there's not much more we can say about this game except for the fact that it was the most watched show in television history, 49.7, the highest in Super Bowl history. Which, you know, last year was down a little because of the blowout, a couple of points in ratings. 114 million people tuned in. You know, that to me. Now, look, the other stuff didn't live up to the game. Tell me your thoughts on halftime and the commercials.
So I thought Katy Perry was trying to be sort of all things to all people. And she had her Lenny Kravitz, and she brought back Missy Elliott. Where's Missy Elliott been? So somebody threw Missy Elliott a bone. But Missy Elliott, and then I thought it was okay. I thought
and
Katy
Perry
did it. And
now she's climbing all over the charts on iTunes, Missy Elliott.
Really? Because we were like, oh, my God,
oh,
who
yeah.
is this? She's talented.
Yeah, she's dope. Missy's dope.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's a huge, huge bone that they threw her, whoever decided to put Missy on the show. But I thought Katy Perry was okay. I mean, for her part, she did what she does. You know what I mean? We talked about this a little bit. She's not a great dancer. She's not a great, like, entertainer, per se. So this venue for her is not really catering to her strength. But she was fun. She was, you know, she was Katy Perry. So,
yeah,
so
it's kind of like, it's like a little Vegas, you know. I did like the wardrobes, though. I got to say that.
Yeah, you like the wardrobe. So, yeah, I thought it was good. The commercials were, it wasn't the best year for commercials, you know.
Lacking.
It was
too depressing.
A little bit lacking.
How, I mean, come on. It's really, Super Bowl Sunday, you're trying to, like, make people, like, on suicide watch. I mean, come on. It's too depressing. It's the Super Bowl. It's like one of the happiest days in the American calendar. You know, I mean, now the one commercial that was really funny, well, e-insurance was funny, but also the Fiat with the guy dropping the pill.
The blue pill?
Yeah.
Like that one.
It's hilarious. My five-year-old was cracking up, okay? I mean, that's funny. I don't know. You know, it's funny because I find that so many people, whether it's Twitter or the media, they like to be so negative or whatever. And sometimes you just got to allow yourself to have fun and be entertained. You know what I mean? So, like, did I think Katy Perry was the greatest? No, but I had fun. And just the fact that she did Kiss the Girls with Lenny Kravitz, that made my night. I thought that was dope. It was funny. I loved how she did Fireworks. And I thought it was fun to bring out Missy, you know. And I think, you know, Missy Elliott, like I told you, she's well-respected, even though she's, you know, been out of the mix a bit. She had her little reality show years back or whatever. She lost all the weight. She had an illness, you know. So I'm happy for her. She's respected because she's a great writer along with, you know, doing her thing musically. And so I just thought, you know, I was like, hey, I'm entertained. Let's get back to the second half, you know. I mean, put it like
so
this.
It did its job, right?
It's better than seeing, and I love Paul McCartney and Bob Dylan, but, I mean, come on. You can't have these old corpses out there anymore. That is not entertainment. It's the halftime show, and it needs to be a show. Bruno Mars was great last year. Beyonce was awesome. You know, I don't think anybody will ever do it like, you know, Michael Jackson. I thought Prince was good. I think the Black Eyed Peas, I don't really love them, but they were entertaining. So, you know, to me, it's one of those venues where you want somebody that is going to, you know, you want to bring in the young. Look, you know the advertisers want to bring in the young people because that's the dollars, right? You know, so it's really not for anybody 40 and over anyway. They don't care about us, you know. Really, I guess nowadays they don't care about 30 and over. So, hey. It was all fun. You know, we both picked the same score, 24-23, Seahawks. It was looking good for us for a while when it was 24-14.
Well, Seahawks did score 24.
Yeah, no, we were right on that. Brady just was able to get it in the end zone. And, you know, give Amendola credit, give Edelman credit, and I'm really happy for Brandon LaFell. I think he's found a home. I think he will continue to improve as a big receiver there for the Patriots. And Belichick just keeps it going. We'll see what happens with Kraft, and you're happy for, you know, him and their family. And, oh, they're so emotional. Oh, we've been through so much with Deflategate. The last 2 weeks have been so rough on us. And
your
I'm just
team.
Like, oh, and the Brady sister was like, oh, he didn't do it, and she's crying, and he's a good man, and you're breaking him down, the legacy. Listen. It's a sport. Nobody's like, you know what I mean? The guy has to know if there's a lot of air missing out of a ball. Whether he said something or not is another thing, but he's got to know. And so
they
from there,
and got caught. Let's
yeah,
not
yeah,
call it anything
yeah, I mean,
other than
yeah.
that.
So, you know, look, things will happen. We'll figure it out. We wrap up football with, we have to say congratulations to Aaron Rodgers, second MVP, Odell Beckham gets the play of the year, the rookie offensive rookie of the year. Aaron Donald, we forgot about Aaron Donald. Forgot who we predicted, but he got the defensive rookie of the year, so happy for him. Thomas Davis, I don't know if you saw that story for the Walter Payton Award, was amazing. And his story and how he grew up was amazing. I've got such a new respect for Thomas Davis, the linebacker from the Panthers. Oh my gosh. J.J. Watt, you know, obviously, you know, defensive player of the year. DeMarco Murray, your guy. Great speech. I like DeMarco. Let me tell you something, man. It's hard for me to hate your Cowboys now because I actually like Romo as a guy. He seems really intelligent and level-headed. DeMarco Murray. I love Dez Bryant trying to get his life together. Dude, I'm not going to be a fan, but I'm just saying.
Are you about to be a Cowboys fan?
Jake Garrett, you know, is improved as a leader and as a coach. It's hard. And Bruce Arians was great, winning his award, Coach of the Year, well-deserved. And Fitzgerald in the red suit. I tell you, these Cardinals wearing their red, Bruce Arians with his red stuff. Fitzgerald won, you know, an award for, you know, I don't know, humanitarian or something, whatever. But great night. Let's talk about the Hall of Famers. Tell me what you thought. Eight guys got in. You know, we know the one senior guy, but tell me your surprises, your thoughts.
So we talked about this a little bit off air. Orlando Pace is probably the biggest surprise to me.
Yeah.
I thought that he was going in with, you know, Larry Allen and Walter Jones and all these guys.
He's one of those guys.
I thought he was going to be for sure in there. And so you could argue that him and Marvin Harrison are the two, you know, potential snubs of this class. But what they did do was they were able to get your boy Tim Brown in and Jerome Bettis. So guys that have been waiting, and maybe what they're trying to do is you know, kind of make people wait a little bit, like a Kurt Warner, and you know, see
Al's a sure first time, so he got in. If you're first time, you know what I mean? Even Harrison,
there's few of those, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say the other thing is, you know, when it's all said and done, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. So if in 2-3 years it takes to get Orlando Pace and your boy Kurt Warner and Marvin Harrison and other people in, you're in the Hall of Fame. You're in that exclusive club of the best football players ever. If you didn't get in your first, second, third time, it's okay. You still made
very
it.
Very happy.
So,
Tim Brown and Charles Haley, right?
And
very
Haley, yeah, I was about to say, that's the guy that we thought that wasn't given enough respect. That he, now granted, he was a specialist and towards the end of his career didn't play all the snaps, but he won 5 Super Bowls and he was a major, major part of disrupting offenses.
He was a problem.
Earned every bit of those 5 rings.
Yes, he did. Definitely. And you got to be happy for the two older gentlemen who constructed different franchises in Ron Wolf and Bill Polian. Obviously, Polian with the Bills and the Colts. Ron Wolf with the Packers and who was the other? He was with somebody else, too. Was he with the Niners early on, they said, or somebody? I was surprised. He was with another team. So I was shocked about that before he got to the Packers. So, very happy. It'll be nice speeches, a good class. Obviously, like you said, you know, and then very emotional to see Seau's kids. And it just breaks your heart. There's not much you can say. And, you know, enshrinement day for the NFL, enshrinement day is always the best. It's better than baseball, better than NBA. Football, it's just something about it. Look, it's the best sport in the world, but it's something about it. So we clean that up. We say goodbye to a great 2014 NFL season. Ray and Tay, we focus now on college hoops.
We start being depressed until next.
We do get sad, but March Madness saves us. The NBA All-Star break will be fun. Let's talk about these reserves real quick. I guess we should just real quick. We got a shout out. Look, what Serena did and Djokovic, you know, we kind of predicted that, but Serena, man, She's now three behind Steffi Graf. She passed Chris Evert and Martina. 19 major Grand Slams. Her sixth Aussie. Just impressive. Just she's on her way just being the best ever. And the Joker, he's building up a great career, man. Winning the Aussie for the men, you know? And
yeah, we
nope.
both predicted it, and it was our thought that that these two would win. But you know what? They went out and did it, and they're both by far the best at their in their respective sport. So Serena's by far the best woman, and Djokovic is the best man. Well,
Nadal
plays on clay. I shouldn't say that. It's closer on the men's side. It is closer on the men's side.
Yeah. So, you know, and then obviously no Tiger. And then what's the guy, Brooks, won the Phoenix Open? Brooks, was it Koepka?
Yeah. It's funny because
Bubba Watson almost had it. One shot.
Well, it was a grand slam for the NBA. They had all the athletes there, the NBA, the NFL.
Oh,
Major League Baseball, everybody comes. I mean, everybody who can, right, comes there for the 2 weeks that the NFL
insane.
Had it. Now, the Pro Bowl, let me ask you something. The Pro Bowl is going back to Hawaii next year? It's not going to San Francisco, right?
It's not going to be in San Francisco. I think it is going back to Hawaii. I'm not too sure. They might just keep it out here. That's not official yet. They haven't, like, named it, I don't think. What's fascinating, though, very sad. We wish well wishes and prayer and just hope everything's okay with Warren Sapp, you know, got caught, you know, like our boy Greg Anthony soliciting a prostitute and suspended indefinitely from NFL Network. I hope that all works out and wish him well. I mean, that's weird. You know, it's legal in so many places, but not legal in our country. So hope everything's okay. Let's talk NBA. We got to talk top 25, too, because there were some upsets. And we got Virginia playing North Carolina now. But real quick, the NBA All-Star Reserves, let's look at the East. We talked about how many Hawks would get in. They got three. So you got Teague, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Paul Millsap, Al Horford, Chris Bosh. Would you take anybody off? Would you take Wade off or – do you say, you know what, he's still kind of doing it. He's one of the best at fourth quarter scoring in the league. Are you happy with that reserve for the East?
No, I'm not. You know, Wade and Bosh, to me, are riding on legacy. And Wade doesn't play enough games. He doesn't play enough minutes. And Bosh doesn't really dominate. But I guess the East is doesn't really have great, you know, front court talent. But those are
done Gortat over Bosch or put Brandon Knight over Dwayne Wade?
Marcin Gortat
playing good.
Your boy Colin Korver, you wanted to get Colin Korver on the team.
Listen, the Hawks have the best record in basketball at 40. Ray, they're better than the Warriors now. They're 40-8 playing.
Wow. And they have three guys on the team. It's not like they only have one.
Tonight they're going for 20 in a row. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen, we got to give them props. So real quick, let's talk about the West, too. This one bothered me. So we know that Cousins was put in by the commissioner over for Kobe being injured. Happy about that. He should have made the list in general. Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant didn't play enough, LaMarcus Aldridge and Tim Duncan. You know, we both felt that DeMarcus and Dame Lillard should have been on here. I probably would have taken off Durant and Duncan and had those two on. So now, with Cousins on for Kobe, you know, Lillard is sitting on the sidelines. Are you happy with the West squad?
You know, the West is a different story because the West, you have a problem of who sits, right? You didn't think Chris Paul was gonna make the team. I was
sure
Chris Paul was gonna make the team. And then Dame Lillard, you know, he's about as good as it gets, but who would you sit? So you're right though, Tim Duncan and Kevin Durant, again, I come back to guys, this is not lifetime achievement. This is half of the 2014-15 season. Are you the best player? And you almost need to put a rule in that you need to play a certain number of games, just like baseball, you know, to qualify for the home run title or not the home run title, but the average, you know, to win
a batting
title, you have to play in. What's that?
I think you're totally right. They should.
Yeah, you
that.
Have to play in a minimum number of games. I think that, you know, whatever the cutoff is, I mean, it's about, let's call it about 41. It's a little more. It'll end up being like 50 games.
Yeah, you should play 28 games, 30 games, something like
whatever
that.
Whatever it is, but it's got to be a decent amount of games. So Kevin Durant, and it's no disrespect on Kevin Durant. Everybody knows that when he's right and he's healthy, he's the second, third, fourth best player in the league, something like that, right? But not this year. This year, he doesn't deserve it. And Tim Duncan is my man. Tim Duncan is my main man from Wake Forest. But he doesn't deserve it either. 14, 10, and two boxes is very good, but
and
it's not
guys,
one of the...
You're right. And there's guys that might not ever make it. That if they're having a great year, they should be rewarded for it.
And the funny thing is Tim Duncan doesn't even want to play in the game.
Oh,
you know, if
no,
it was up
to
Timmy, he'd rather just hang out.
You know he doesn't want to play. That's what's so absurd about it. He's done it already. He's been in so many and dominated and had his shine. You know, if you asked him, he'd rather have Kawhi Leonard or Tony Parker in there, one of his team. You know what I mean? Not like they deserve it, but, you know. So, look, it is what it is. They even said next year that they're going to increase the rosters anywhere from 13 to 15, which we wondered about, right, because obviously – 13 guys are active, you know, on the rosters during the regular season. So, you know, why not? So as we end the show, let's look at this top 25, Ray, college hoops, you know, finally unanimous because Virginia lost. Kentucky gets all the votes, 65 votes to be number one. Gonzaga 2, Virginia 3, Duke 4.
Yeah, Virginia just beat Carolina. It's a final, so 75-64.
Okay, so there you go. Duke 4, Wisconsin 5, Arizona 6, Villanova 7, Kansas 8, Louisville 9, Notre Dame 10. Four of the top 10 are the ACC. Your thoughts just on, obviously, you know, Duke beats Virginia, but Notre Dame beat Duke earlier last week. The ACC
That's
top 10.
That's the way the ACC is going to go, yeah.
I know. I was going to ask you,
And you know who is very interesting is you know, a couple of sleepers, right? Villanova, Gonzaga. We're not talking enough about the team, right?
Gonzaga's very good, and they're long this year. This is the – you know what's so funny? Out of all the Gonzaga teams, Gonzaga, this is the most talented, most people are saying. And I think they're going to have a deep run in the tournament. This is a very good Gonzaga team.
Well, we'll see. And the good thing about the ACC is that they're going to play each other quite a few times. So like we said, Virginia is going to play Duke, and then Virginia is going to play Carolina. And, of course, Duke and Carolina play, and then they play at the last Saturday of the regular season. And then you throw Notre Dame playing that ACC schedule. So that's really fun. Can Louisville put it together? Can you know, they get that backcourt stability?
Defensively, so good.
And
I don't
Harrell,
trust them. Yeah,
we don't trust them, huh? Because who's your leader on that team?
Well, it's Harrell, but they can't score, and they got the guard in the background, so they're good, but they can't score. It'll be
fascinating. And what about Duke? They threw Rasheed Suleiman off the team.
Yes. Gosh, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that usually doesn't happen at Duke. I guess he doesn't.
He really? He was feeling himself too much. Hey, quick alert. They're going for 20. The Pelicans and your boy Anthony Davis are up on the Hawks 48-40, so the streak for the Hawks might go. The Cavs are going for 10 in a row. They're up by 10 on the Sixers. And, Ray, it's time to really be concerned. OKC has not been playing great ball. And the Knicks beat them last week with no Durant. And I don't know. I think OKC better watch out. Rondo's out for the Mavericks, and Dwight Howard's out for the Rockets. The Western Conference is gonna be moving around. We gotta watch it up to the All Star break.
You know? OKC, let them get a lottery pick. Let them get one more chip.
Ray's all about that. He's like, listen, don't make it. It's okay, don't make it. So
Tim Duncan,
anyway, look, great show. There's a great Super Bowl. Ray, I'm sad the NFL season is leaving us. It left us. We got, you know, college football signing. Signing day is Wednesday, and we will talk about free agency and the combine big time, try to get some guests for you. And, look, have a great sports week, right? And we'll talk to you Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great sports week. We crowned our Super Bowl champ, and now we're going to turn our focus, like Tay said, to basketball. There'll be a lot of basketball talk on Ray and Tay today. So get your hoops ready, pump up your ball, put your, you know, Chuck Taylors on, and let's roll.
Lace them, baby. Lace them up. Congrats again to Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Robert Kraft, the entire New England Patriots fans, nation. You guys have won the Super Bowl. Wow, it's amazing. Great show, and thank you for listening and talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today.
Yes, Sports Radio's on, talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on, from the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day, college football, we know who's number one, understand, on the phones, you know we get it done, so call in 718-664-9098, and we'll give you more, talking sports, yes we do, talking sports, it's for you, Ray and Tay, and we did it every day, and we're talking sports, give us a call, okay?
Sports Radio.